And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, here on KALW. Joining moderator Dana Rodriguez tonight will be cryptographer Jeremy Horwitz and teacher Lori Fitcher.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Mr. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's beautiful weather out there, but we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we need you. So please give us a call if you have a question or answer for us. You'll be hearing our questions momentarily. But, of course, if you have one, too, that's fine. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We are urging you to call early. That's always the best way to go. We do have a couple of lines open right now, so it's a great time to get in. So please give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. We also urge you, I mean, we're not going to be mean about it or anything, because we love it that you call, but we also urge you to try to stick to one question or maybe one two-part question, you know, that kind of thing, just because it's a little fairer to people who are down the line waiting. So just keep that in mind. And also want to remind you, too, of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So, again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral 1. So, again, that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. It's always great to hear from you out there. Feel free to email anytime. We generally don't read them during the show, but they all get read. And I appreciate them all. So feel free to contact us in that way with a comment or question anytime. Also, if you'd like to hear us in a live stream, that would be my voice now. That is at kalw.org. Again, just go to kalw.org for the live stream. And of course, if you'd like to listen to the podcast, it should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight. That will also be at kalw.org. It really will be. And a lot of other places as well, you know, iTunes, NPR, blah, blah, blah. So you can find it in many places, theoretically. And but start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. I know some people have had trouble finding that. Somebody emailed me, or actually a couple people did last week. They couldn't find it on the KALW site. So sometimes you have to do, say, go to Google. You know, you type in Minds Over Matter, KALW. And then, you know, many things will pop up. But sometimes you have to go down to maybe the second or third to find the most current show. Just as a hint to you, if you just hit the first, you might find a show that's from, say, May or April. But if you go down to maybe the third heading on it, you can find today's show. So keep that in mind, too. All right. So all that being said, I will say hello to our two panelists tonight. That would be Jeremy Horwitz. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Hi. And also Lori Fisher. Hi, Lori.
Hey. Hi, Dana. Okay. Hi, Jeremy. And hi, Damien.
So, all right, we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jeremy Horwitz is going to miss mask wearing a little because he's gotten so many free coffees from a barista who thinks he's Michael McDonald. Boy, that's wow. That's what a fool believes anyway. Huh?
That is. I was nice. I was like 70% sure you can go there. I appreciate the follow-up. Thank you.
So you're a doobie brother, huh?
Well, that's a different story. We'll talk about that later. That's for the after-show party. Lori Fisher was shocked to read that Major League Baseball is currently investigating the doctoring of baseballs. He wants to assure our Minds Over Matter audience that all of tonight's questions have been carefully inspected, and he happily reports that all of tonight's questions have indeed been appropriately doctored.
Yep. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is not one to toot his own horn. he prefers just to flip people off out the window.
Yeah.
A lot of that going on. Yeah.
I'm not disruptive on a plane, just out the window of the car. And all right. All that being said, we will start with Jeremy Horwitz.
All right. I got a little short list for you here, and it's got a second half coming up later. What four films that won a Best Director Academy Award also received an acting nomination for that director? So I'm looking for four films. They all won the Best Director Oscar, and that director is so talented, he or she got an acting nomination for one that
film. One is Dances with Wolves.
One is absolutely Dances with Wolves. Very nice.
And his name just went out of my head. Dana, he'll fill in his name.
His name is Dances Costner. With Wolves. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Costner. That's it.
Well, yes, I'll absolutely. Start. I'll kind of go backwards, I guess. How about Mel Gibson?
No acting nomination, but of course he did win director for Braveheart.
So, or Laurence Olivier?
No. All right. He hasn't won a directing Oscar.
0 for 0. And
so they won director, but were nominated or won for actor. Is that it?
That's correct. He did direct himself to an Oscar. That's certainly true, though. That's a great guess.
No, wait a minute now. So. Just read the question once more.
Sure. What four films that won a Best Director Oscar also received an acting nomination for the director?
And it was always a Best Actor, not Supporting Actor, correct?
I did not say that.
I said
an acting nomination. Is it true?
Is Warren Beatty one by any chance?
He's not. Certainly a great guest because he won directing.
Oh, how about, Dana, help me on this. Did Woody Allen do it?
For Annie Hall?
No, he didn't. He never got an acting, I don't think. Never mind.
Okay. Leave it out then. And Laurie, you go ahead too.
All right. Well, I think we're going to stay in the film world for a second. And it's, I watched a Hemingway documentary by Ken Burns, and there was a lot about different Hemingway books like The Killers and the Snows of Kilimanjaro, short stories turned into movies. I'm going to give you the titles of some short stories and the author and tell me what famous movie they were turned into. Okay, so these are the names of seven short stories and the authors, and what movie did they become? The first is Killings, not The Killers, Killings by Andre Dubois, The Sentinel by Arthur C. Clarke, We Can Remember It For You, Wholesale, Philip K. Dick. Fourth one is Your Arkansas Traveler by Bud Schulberg. Number five is 5135 Kensington by Sally Benson. Number six is It Had to Be Murder by Cornell Woolrich. And the last one is Opera Hat, Clarence Buddington Kellen, my favorite name. So The Killings, The Sentinel, We Can Remember It For You, Wholesale, Your Arkansas Traveler, 5135 Kensington, It Had to Be Murder and Opera Hat. Give you up to two each, or one and a half.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Do you know?
I'll take The Sentinel. That's in some order that became 2001: A Space Odyssey.
It did. Very good. Belfort.
I'll take the We Can Remember It For You, Wholesale. That's Total Recall.
It is two versions of Total Recall by Philip K. Dick. We have a bell for him, Dana.
There you go.
Very, very. How about you, Dana?
Well, let's see. Opera Hat is.
Yeah.
That's pretty obscure. I think that's the basis for Mr. Deeds Goes to Town.
Oh, that's my favorite answer. Yeah, it is. Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. Very good.
The Capra film. It Had to Be Murder. Of course, Cornell Woolrich wrote so many great stories that became movies.
Yeah.
Is that Rear Window?
It is. Okay. 1954. Nice. So that we'll leave the three out there. We'll leave Killings out, Your Arkansas Traveler, and 5135 Kensington, and our callers will get those.
All right. Okay.
Good work.
And I should say that 5531 Kensington is actually in a song. So
yes.
for good reason.
Ooh, for good reason.
Yeah.
And a good tip. Yeah, very nice.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zeed. How are you?
Hey.
So in view of the meeting, coming meeting was between Biden and Putin, I have a question related to that matter, because the U.S. including Biden, withdrew from a very important nuclear treaty with Russia, which is a mistake, big mistake. So I'll ask you one of the question about your subject you discuss most often, movies. I know I asked that before, but with that occasion, I like to ask it again. Name the movie that where it was acted very close to a nuclear website where the two main characters and 90 other actors, all developed actors, developed cancer and died. Name the movie.
That's The Conqueror? Mm-hmm.
Yes, The Conqueror. What year?
56, I think.
56, it is. The two main actors.
Well,
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Right. John
Wayne.
Okay.
Susan Hayward.
Susan Hayward. One of the most beautiful actresses I ever seen. Very beautiful lady.
I think producer Howard Hughes did some pickup
shots.
Yes,
he died too. They acted there, you know, only less than 100 miles from the 100 test in Trinity site. They 100 tests, not only that, they loaded trucks of rocks and things from to the studio in Hollywood to use it as well.
So wow. That's what I was trying to say.
It was really sad. That's why we are really primitive when it comes to science. And I'm really disappointed that Biden, for withdrawing from that. He's a neocon. We know that. I knew that. We voted for all the wars, sadly. Okay, the one question for your audience. I want them to name the only two liquid chemical elements at room temperature. I'll leave that to the audience. I'll leave the time for other people to call. But please, everybody, pay attention to what Biden is doing because he's a warmonger, neocon. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say that, but he is. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Reed. Again, this is not really the show that we generally ask people's political opinions. It's not really the place for that. There are plenty of other shows you can call in, but I don't deny the fact that he has the right to give it. Okay. So let's see here. Let me give a couple of questions. All right. Who was the first African-American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars?
Poitier.
No. And I should say this person was not in show business.
Oh.
Who was the... See, you spoke too soon, Jeremy.
I did.
Who was the first African-American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars? And this person was not in show business.
Was a person associated with show business, though? Like a musician, that kind of thing? Or
no,
not even that?
No. In a very, very peripheral way.
Were they the subject of a film of note?
Not that I know of. No. Mm-mm. So, once more, who was the first African-American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars? They were not in show business, this person. Okay, second question. What is the only American university to ever host the Olympic Summer Games? One guess each.
Another sports question I might point out.
Well,
excellent.
Again, one.
So do you mean that you mean some of the Olympic events took place on a campus?
Yes. They all did.
They all did.
What is the only American university to ever host the Summer Olympic Games?
Wow. So
University of St. Louis.
No.
And no, I'm trying to think. In L.A., the events weren't at UCLA. There was
Lake Placid. They weren't in the summer.
They were not.
No. Same as Squaw.
Which are the other American Olympics?
Atlanta, and then summer, and then winter Salt Lake, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So think about it, and maybe I'll give you a guess later on, but we'll leave it out for now.
Is it a trick question in some way?
It is not a trick question.
Okay.
Not a trick question. What is the only American university to ever host the Summer Olympic Games? And the first question was, who was the first African-American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars? This person was not in show business, but this person was very famous. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Okay, Patrick, I have a question. The following individuals. Franz Mandel, here's a connection. Franz Mandel, Hedwig Kiesler, Ben Hecht, and Alfred Hitchcock? What is the connection?
Well, Ben Heck wrote, at least one Hitchcock film. I think he wrote Notorious.
What's the connection?
Yeah. What's the first? Could you say the first two names again, please?
The first two names are Franz Mandel and Hedwig Kiesler.
Jeremy?
I can't understand what he's saying aside from Alfred Hitchcock. I'm sorry.
The Kiesler, that's not Hedy Lamarr's real.
Is of that course it is.
All right.
Of course.
She's Hedwig Eva Kessler.
Well, he's pronounced, perhaps it's the pronunciation.
Well, okay, I'm pronouncing it as in the German Austrian name, Hedwig Kiesler.
Okay, so we have Ben Hecht, Alfred Hitchcock, Hedy Lamarr. And
Franz Mandel.
Franz Mandel is the one that I don't. Does anybody know? I don't know Franz Mandel.
I don't know Franz Mandel.
Okay, sure, I'll try to make it very, very quick. Hedwig Kiesler was a very beautiful society woman, very young in Vienna, in the
30s. Right.
And she married this guy, Franz Mandel, who was the arms dealer for all the monsters in Berlin.
Okay.
And she was a society hostess. And one of her biographies said she lived on the Schwarzenbergplatz. No, she lived on Prince Eugenstrasse, in a huge mansion on the Prince Eugenstrasse in 4th District in Vienna. And she entertained. They entertained, and she was a toy wife, but she was a brilliant woman, and she listened to the Goebbels and all these monsters. And she finally escaped, disguised as her maid, and got out of there, and got to London, got on the Normandy, met L.V. Mayer, and so on, and that. And I think she was a great friend of Ben Hecht, and I'm sure that she had told Ben Hecht her story, and that's the basis for Notorious.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Well, Jewish as well? Wasn't Hedy Lamarr half Jewish? Wasn't that one of the reasons she left?
No, because they were getting on tour in this mansion with all the all these guys coming from Berlin, and she was listening. That they thought she was a toy wife, but she was a brilliant woman,
and she was Jewish.
Yeah, she was Jewish.
Yeah, and she figured, I got to get out of here. She disguised herself as a maid. She got out. She went to Paris and London, and she got on the Normandy. And L.B. Mayer was on, and that the rest is history.
All right. Okay.
And but Ben Hecht was one of her great friends because she was a brilliant hostess in Hollywood. She entertained everybody, God knows, Yasha Heifetz, Otto Klemperer, and so on. And I think she told Ben Hecht this story, and that is the basis for Notorious.
All right. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Hi, someone mentioned Rear Window there. It reminded me of something. I took a course at New School on Hitchcock films when I was a kid. And the New School is on 6th Avenue and 12th Street. And, of course, we're all watching Rear Window and right away say, the address they give, and say, we all knew, there's no such thing. Because was that
mentioned? No, it would have been in the Hudson River, I think.
No, not that far. Because 100 begins at 6th Avenue. It's the numbering system. And they gave the address 100-something. And no, that's Christopher Street. It angles down.
Yeah, it's in Greenwich.
Anyway, savvy New Yorkers. How did you know that? Is that well-known trivia?
Yeah. That it was in Greenwich Village? Yeah.
Right. Maybe it's well-known to Dana. I'm not sure.
Right.
It's not in the Hudson River. It's plausible, but don't go there. There's a place that has great moussaka there. It's a Greek restaurant.
So what's your question?
Underwater moussaka.
Yeah.
The best.
Actually, it's kind of a nice area. So here, I want to follow up real quick on, remember last week I said two characters who were seen and not heard, and the first one was the doorman, Carlton the doorman. The other one was
Lorenzo
Charlie,
Music.
As in Charlie Angel. There are two more, though, and this is going to segue to the next thing. Two more characters seen but not heard but not seen.
Well, that's not enough to go on. You see, you have to tell us what
you mean in the history of television
or the show is. Yeah, that.
Oh, there.
Yeah, that's
definitely 1960s and 70s.
Yeah, that's not enough. It's not enough.
I mean, Columbo's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, Oh, right. But that
Vera
that
from is, Cheers, except the one
no,
episode.
No, we never heard. We never heard Columbo's wife. This is heard but not seen.
All right. What's the show though? What's the movie? What's the show? What's the? What do you?
Well, if I give you the show, you'll get.
But it's
right
not.
Away,
you see, it's not. It's too vague. It's too vague. It's you would just be guessing and guessing and guessing because you're
okay.
just giving us a
one. Difference. One is only heard on tape.
You mean
Mission Impossible?
Yes, that's the obvious one. The other one is heard on MASH.
Oh, the voice on the PA system
yeah.
every show.
Yes, right. The PA voice. He has lots of good one-liners, by the way. And so I did want to go. But relating to that,
oh, now we just remember what I said at the beginning of the show is we're trying to
okay,
keep it to
okay.
So
like leave
one
this
question.
Open to future callers. What MASH character was heard but never seen? But he was, heard. But what MASH actor regular was Asian? Had Asian heritage. He was an American, but his roots were, he was Asian. A regular on MASH whose roots were Asian.
All right, we'll leave it out.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait, screener?
Oh, okay, you want to, all right, we'll put you on hold and then you can give
put
the,
me to the screener, answer. Thanks.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, that would be Jeremy Horowitz, cryptographer, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Feel free to call us. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And Jeremy, it is your turn.
All right, so I asked you the first half of a two-list question, as odd as that may sound. The first half asked about films where the Best Director Oscar was won. The director was so good, he or she won the Best Director Oscar, but was pretty good at acting, too, so he or she got nominated for an acting Oscar. Well, here's the follow-up list. Who has won a Best Director Oscar and has received an acting Oscar nomination for a film they didn't direct, for being in someone else's film.
So just the premise. So they won Best Director, and another film they did not direct. They were nominated for an acting award.
Absolutely perfect description. Yes.
All right. So Dana, that list you gave before, anybody on that we should resurrect? Does that seem? Those seem likely. So, did Mel Gibson, he was Best Director, right? Was he ever nominated for acting?
Was not.
He was not, never, okay.
But that is a great, that's the kind of direction you want to go here.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner's only Oscar nomination, his only acting Oscar nomination is for Dances with Wolves.
All right. Huh, okay.
Let's see. Chaplin would not be in it. I'm just trying to think out loud here. There's more recent people who have been directing movies and winning.
I have to think about this for a few minutes. Just repeat the question if you would.
Sure. People who've won a Best Director Oscar and have been nominated for an acting Oscar, but while on someone else's film.
And once again, you didn't say, so it might be a supporting actor and it might be an actor, yes?
That's correct.
Okay. Would John Huston be one?
John Huston absolutely is one for Otto Preminger's 1963 The Cardinal, and of course he won his directing Oscar for Badge's
Treasure's
Dear Mother.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like,
all right, there we go. Okay,
so we have one of each. That's it, right? One in each of your categories, right, Jeremy?
Depending on how you look at it, you have two. Warren Beatty is actually correct from the last list.
Oh, all right. In the second list.
Yes. I, at the last minute, split this up from a list of eight. Anyway, you have Dances of the Wolves and Reds for the first one, and you have John Huston for the second list.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, thanks. This is Fran in San Francisco. Two quick questions. The first one, according to Forbes, a recent issue, how many billionaires live in California?
You're looking for a round number or
yeah, exactly? A number, but don't overestimate it.
100.
No.
Is that too 25. High or too low?
I'm gonna go 25.
No.
Who's closer?
Jeremy.
Okay. Go ahead, Dana.
It's over 100.
125.
More.
150.
More.
200.
No, less.
I don't negotiate.
1 yeah. billion.
No, less than 200.
All right, well, we'll leave it.
We're going 175.
Yeah,
that's
we're,
my
we're
final, that's my final off.
188.
188, okay.
That's what they said. Second question, quick one, is the name Yvonne Elliman. This is a music
sure.
question. I want to know what she was famous for in the 1970s. Something very specific.
Yeah.
Well, she did what do you call it when you record an album before you do a theatrical show for Jesus Christ Superstar? She was on that, and then of course she had hits with If I Can't Have You.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
Did
from
she do,
Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever? Is that it?
Yeah, she did If I Can't Have You.
Did she do I Don't Know How to Love Him? Was that her as well or not?
On that album?
No, on the Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack.
Oh, I don't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm guessing she was Mary Magdalene. So we've reached
such a good guess.
My right. knowledge, yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. So this was inspired by, I think, Kira and Dana asking questions about, this is a geography question, sort of. Unless I read wrong, there are 4 state capitals when you include the state capital and the state name, and only 4 that include all 5 vowels. So okay. I think there are 4 state capitals that when you say the capital and the spell out the state name, there are 4 that have all 5 vowels, and I'll give you 1 each. Oh, I thought you'd get them good. So
I
like
Jeremy,
that little silence.
Had, I thought you had one.
I thought Jeremy was going to rattle them off in a second.
No
first thing.
No. Wow.
Oh, good.
All
St. Paul, Minnesota.
That's one of them. Very nice.
Right.
And yeah, that's
so
got
are
all
these single word names or double word?
I'm not. It could be either, and I'm not saying.
Indianapolis?
There's no U, I don't think, any place right. in Indianapolis. And again, with the state name.
I'll even tell you, U is going to be where the trouble is in all of these.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. That's I don't want any unfair mail to come in for U
letters.
Right.
You know? Ask that again.
Anyway, so there are 4, now 3 state capitals that when you say the state name and the state itself include all 5 vowels. And Jeremy
Mayo. Wait. Now I'm all confused here. Oh. So you're including the state name and the state capital?
Correct.
I'm sorry.
So St. Paul, Minnesota, you know, we didn't get the E until Minnesota came in.
Okay.
And I think we didn't get, yeah, that's right. And all the others, I don't think there's any state capital itself that has all 5 vowels. I'm looking at, yep. But they have to get the state name too. So St. Paul, Minnesota is 1, and I'm looking for 3 more.
Oh, I'm surprised there are only 4 when you include the
Me
state
too.
Name.
Yeah. I might have misread, but I read it twice, and that's the
that
level.
That was enough for you, huh? Okay.
That was plenty. Our viewers are looking it up as we speak.
All right.
But don't.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bob in Berkeley.
Hi, Bob.
The black presenter for the Academy Award, was it a sports personality?
It was not a sports personality, no.
Oh, I had 2 lined up for that. Okay, so
what were you thinking after? Just out of curiosity.
I was thinking maybe Joe Louis and maybe Jackie Robinson.
Well, those are good guesses, but no, good guesses. Nothing to do with sports.
Okay. And then for the Max Chase, I think there was a nurse.
Oops, I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
I couldn't hear you.
For the MASH character?
Right.
I think there was an Asian nurse, but I don't remember her name.
There's Nurse Kelly
yeah,
Nagahara.
But she was seen and she was heard. So
definitely.
That would not be... Yeah,
and I thought they had sort of a houseboy or something.
Yeah, but again, he was seen and he was heard too. So
oh, okay. Never mind.
Right.
Okay, a couple questions for you.
All right.
There's a fairly well-known town, population 60,000. It has New York to the north, New York to the west, New York to the east, and New York to the south, but it's not in New York.
Is it in New York State?
No, this is not in New York State. It's a different state. What is the town is the question.
All right.
So it's a geographic enclave.
Right. So this sounds like something in Pennsylvania. Is that possible?
I don't think Pennsylvania has New York.
What are the three directions once more? I'm sorry, I missed it.
All four directions.
Oh, all four. Oh,
so it's
it's surrounded.
Does Liberty Island count somehow? Because Liberty Island is technically both part of New Jersey and New York, and it is surrounded on all sides by New York.
Sir,
does it have New York to the south?
I thought so.
You have to go straight south and straight north and so forth. And, of course, New York isn't immediate. It's after a while.
And is this town in the United Island States? Hold on. Is this town in the United States or in...
Yes.
Okay. It's not in Canada, so we can't count upper New York. And... So, what are you looking for? The name of the city, the small city here? Is that the idea?
Yeah. Well, if you get the state, we can start with that. In fact, there's a little hangy down dealy in Vermont that is also north New York in every direction.
Right. Huh.
By some river or something.
Right.
But this is a significant town.
I don't know. And 60,000, so even Liberty Island wouldn't have 60,000 people.
No. That's a great point. That's a great point.
It's
a very popular. Anyway.
Okay, it's Connecticut. Does that help?
It helps, but I don't know whether I would get the... Is this like a commuter town? In other words, a lot of sort of a
rich... It's a very rich town.
Yeah, so like Greenwich or...
Right, yeah, it's Greenwich.
Is it Greenwich? Okay.
No kidding. Yeah.
So it's in the hangy-down dealy from Connecticut. So,
all right. That's a surprise. Nice.
That's a technical
another term. Question, if there's time.
Yeah, very quickly.
Two states, one of them touches the Pacific and one of them touches the Atlantic. They have time zones that are adjacent to each other.
Two states, one of them... Okay, I see what you mean.
So basically, you're looking for states that have two time zones.
So we want central and mountain. Florida has central.
Uh-huh.
And Texas has mountain. Is like El Paso in mountain or something like that?
You need Pacific and mountain.
Is it Alaska? Does that creep over?
No.
No. Okay.
Pacific and mountain. Then, well, huh.
There's kind of a choice of three.
Is Idaho?
What was the question
is
again?
Is part of Idaho Pacific time and part in?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
I actually. Go ahead.
Or Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon. All so right. Oregon and Florida have adjacent time zones.
Okay. All right.
It's wild. It's good.
Thank you.
That's interesting.
Marty, thank you.
All right. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call if you have a question or answer. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jeremy, we'll start with you.
Sure. I'm looking for films that won Best Director and also received an acting nomination for that director. And we've already heard Reds and Dances with Wolves. And then the other half of this is people who have won Best Director Oscars and have received an acting Oscar nomination for a film they didn't direct. And we got, Dana gave us John Huston for that one. And there's still people remaining.
Hey, Dana, did Ben Affleck win Best Director? Was he nominated?
He's never won Best Director. Writing. I don't think he's even been nominated for Best Director.
It was just Argo won Best Picture, and he wasn't even nominated for Best Director.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it, Jeremy?
That is it for me, yes.
I am looking for, I'm going to give you the name of three short stories that are remaining, Killings by Andre Dubuis, Your Arkansas Traveler by Bud Schulberg and 5135 Kensington by Sally Benson. And as Dana pointed out, that becomes a line in a musical. It's become part of a lyric of a song. And I'm looking for three more state capitals that when you spell out the state capital with the state that it's in, you get all five vowels. Jeremy nailed St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm looking for three more. That's it for me.
Okay. Right. Okay. And let's see. What do I have here? What is the only American university to ever host the Summer Olympic Games? What is the only American university ever to host the Summer Olympic Games? Second question, who was the first African-American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars? This person was not in show business and was not in sports. So again, who was the first African-American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars? This person was not in show business and not in sports.
Okay. Is this person a literary person?
In a very peripheral way.
Okay.
All right. I believe it's my turn, so I'm going to give you a quick question here. Interstate 80, that we know, it runs from San Francisco to Teaneck, New Jersey, has five state capitals on its route, the most of any highway in the U.S. Yeah. Interstate 80, which runs from San Francisco to Teaneck, New Jersey, has five state capitals on its route, the most of any highway. I will give you each one guess.
I'll take the easy one, Sacramento.
Sacramento is obviously
correct. I feel Jeremy can run the table with the rest of them, I have a feeling.
To be fair, I've only driven through three of them. I'll take Olympic City, Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City is correct. All right. So once more, Interstate 80 that goes from San Francisco to Teaneck, New Jersey, or from Teaneck, New Jersey to San Francisco, depending on how you're feeling, has five state capitals on its route, the most of any interstate highway. What are those five state capitals? So far we have Salt Lake City and Sacramento, California. What are the other three? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in wherever I'm at.
Yeah, right.
Okay. How about Denver? Does I-80 go through Denver?
It does not go through Denver. No.
Okay.
Does take 25 up to get to Cheyenne.
Ah. Cheyenne?
Yes, it does go through Cheyenne, Wyoming. Yes. Very good.
North. Okay. Okay, let's see. The best actor. How about the best director and nominated for best actor, Clint Eastwood?
What film?
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven is correct. Director. Absolutely. Best director, and he was nominated for acting as well.
Okay, and then, I can't think of any others. Oh, and the best actor, the one best director nominated in somebody else's film. How about Robert Redford?
And that's correct. For what film?
He directed Ordinary People. I know he went for that.
Absolutely.
Best actor nom, maybe Butch Cassidy in The Sundance Kid?
Right director, right co-star, wrong film. So incredibly close.
The Sting.
Oh, well, it must be.
It is The Sting, absolutely. Yeah, that's as close as you can be without being right, in fact. Right.
That's his only nomination, huh? Is that correct? That's his only nomination for The Sting?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. For acting.
For best actor.
And what was Eastwood's acting movie? Did you say that, Jeremy?
Tom did, or caller did. Unforgiven. And that's assuming, of course, the answer to your question is not well defined, technically.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, what about a Million Dollar Baby? Was he nominated for that as well?
And Golly Gee Willikers, that's why it's not well defined. Clint Eastwood doesn't just have one, he has two. Got it.
Good.
You saw through my ruse.
Cool.
Very nice.
Okay, and then. State capitals. I think there's one more. There's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
For the vowels. Yeah.
For the vowels.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I don't have on my list. Is that correct?
Is there a U?
Jeremy, help. It has no U. It has no U, right?
There's a U in Harrisburg.
Harrisburg.
Isn't it B-E-R-G?
There's no O.
There's no
O. B-E-R-G.
No, but there's no O.
There's no O.
There's no O.
Oh, there's no O. There you go. Yeah. Okay, you got me. Okay, so there's Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's one. Very good.
Augusta. Oh, no, there's no O in Augusta, Maine. Okay, so Baton Rouge,
the trouble
Louisiana.
Letter. Yeah, Baton Rouge, Louisiana is number three. Very good. Give him a bell.
Okay. That's all
one more
right
out
now.
There.
Austin, Texas. That just came to me.
No. No O
no
in
O.
Austin.
Is that O? Yeah.
O is the trouble letter, it turns out, not the U.
Yeah. Okay. The U.S. University, is it Washington University in St. Louis?
It is Washington University in St. Louis.
Wow.
You said University of St. Louis.
Jeremy got that. That's
no,
nice.
No, said University
of
St. Louis.
I said
that
University
is
of St. Louis. I said the wrong university.
Yes. Yeah, so Washington University in St. Louis hosted the 1904 Summer Olympic Games. Yes.
Nice.
Okay. And the first African-American for the best picture, is that a politician?
It is not. Not somebody who you consider a politician, no.
Not Rosa Parks, is it?
No, not Rosa Parks.
Okay. Not Thurgood Marshall?
Not Thurgood Marshall.
I just can't think. And the last guess would be W.E.B. Du Bois, but I'm sure that's not right.
Nope.
Okay.
Very early Oscars.
Yeah, in the 20s. The Arkansas Traveler, is that the, and Dana, I'm sure, or any of you can probably help me. It's at the Andy Griffith.
It is. Which is
film
it?
Film where he, I can't remember the name, the one where he'd be,
kind
of like a demagogue.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's the one Ede calls about frequently. Your Arkansas Traveler is A Face in the Crowd, 1957. Right. Very nice. Good work.
Okay. And then my question is, today would have been the running of the third oldest foot race in the United States. But because of the pandemic, it was postponed till November. Can you tell me what the race...
Is that Beta Breakers? Is that today Beta Breakers?
No, Beta Breakers is up there, Beta Breakers is
like
the sixth or seventh oldest, yeah.
Is it the Dipsy?
It is the Dipsy.
The Dipsy in Santa Cruz? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Up at Marin County.
Marin, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there's two fairly unique things about the Dipsy race, which was first run in 1905. Do you know what they are?
Well, it's a tough race, and it's there's a lot of unpaved places where you're running.
Right, yeah. A lot of trail race, but that's not really the...
No, I can't do anything.
Okay, but the first thing is that... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Dave.
No, go ahead. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. The first is that there's no set route. In other words, there's no race course. It starts in Mill Valley. You have to start in Mill Valley. You have to go to the top of Mount Tam, and you have to end in Stinson Beach. But aside from that, there's no set route. There's different trails that people can take.
Okay.
And the other one is that it's staggered, the starts, so that men, women, and different age groups start at different times. So, men 18 to 24 start last. And so that it's frequently won by people in their 60s or women. That's a fairly interesting...
All right.
Respect of the race.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thanks. Great show.
Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We're enjoying the show. We've got about 16 minutes left, so feel free to give us a call if you like. That's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
Let's see. Starting with Jeremy's first part, Melissa has a couple of answers for that. Would one of them be George Clooney?
No, he does not have a directing Oscar.
Okay, and the other possibility, Kenneth Branagh?
He has no Oscars, but I believe he's been nominated in six different categories.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
At least five, I think maybe six.
Okay, yeah.
Both great guesses.
Yeah, all right, and let's see. Of the five state capitals that I-80 passes through, besides Sacramento and Salt Lake City, I think Cheyenne.
Right, got that.
Omaha.
Not Omaha. No.
What about Des Moines?
Des Moines is correct.
And... Indianapolis?
Not Indianapolis.
Okay. Okay. Here's a question. Let's see. Tonight's topic is animal recovery programs, and we'll use the poster child pandas. How many pandas have been born in breeding programs in captivity?
Very few, isn't it? Or am I? Maybe it's.
And I'll say that this was as of these numbers are as of 2018.
Oh,
so this is all of them ever, right?
It's a crazy small number.
It's like five, maybe something like that.
Nice.
You. It's a factor of five.
Oh,
so it's one. I hate to get out the cryptographer card here, but
really, well, I'm gonna go with 10.
No, the only factors of five are one and five, at least they're positive.
So
numbers.
One then.
Yeah, it has to be one.
So remember, we're talking about pandas born in breeding programs while in captivity, right?
Do you mean a multiple of five?
Yes, a multiple of five.
Oh.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. So I said 10. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
You got to keep going a long ways, actually.
Oh, just tell us. Tell us.
Oh, it's more.
Tell us.
Yeah.
500,000.
Yeah, no.
We're looking at 500.
Oh, really? Oh. Well,
all right.
Okay.
Okay, now, of the 500, how many have been placed back in the wild?
Is this another multiple of five?
No. Yeah, actually, yes.
105.
Is the point of this question? There's an ironic answer to this, as in very few of them have ever been placed back in the wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll say, and it is a factor of five. Is it a multiple of five? I should say.
Correct.
So maybe, I don't know. What?
Well, Jeremy said five. Is that correct?
I said five. Now we're just negotiating at this point. We've got an upper bound, clearly.
Caller?
Just put the money on the dresser, please. And no. What is it?
What's your guess?
Oh, 20?
Okay, so it's between those. It's 10. And then the big question is, how many of them survived?
Oh.
One.
Right. Less than that.
Zero.
Right.
Five. No.
One half.
It's actually two.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's where we go.
All right.
Thanks for a great show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Don't fight amongst yourselves, but who has a very short question that can fit in here?
I do, but go ahead, Jeremy, if you have one.
Sure. Who was the first U.S. president to ride in an automobile while in office? Oh. And it's paired up with who's the first U.S. president to fly in an aircraft while in office. Two separate answers, yet still short.
Is it Wilson?
It is not.
Yeah, an automobile? I think McKinley. Didn't McKinley ride in an automobile?
Absolutely. McKinley was first. November 1st, 1899, a Stanley steamer in his hometown of Canton, Ohio, if I remember correctly. And first to fly in an aircraft while in office?
Well, you want to say Roosevelt because he did fly in an aircraft. I don't remember whether he was in office or not. Is it Theodore Roosevelt?
It is not. It is Theodore Roosevelt's fifth cousin.
Oh, Franklin?
It is Franklin, yes. Oh.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you got a long stand to work with there, and it was for the Casablanca Conference.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. 40, and 40. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colin in Oakland.
Hi, Colin.
I have a geography question for you that's kind of similar to the one that you just were asking about as far as driving along Highway 80. So my question is, if you are going to drive from San Francisco to New York City, what is the fewest states you could drive through in order to get from one to the other? Of course, we include California and New York State.
All right, Jeremy.
One, two, so California, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, Missouri. I don't know if you can sneak down to Kentucky to do this. So Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York. You can do an 11. You can probably do it in fewer.
I bet you can.
So I'm going to say 10.
I would say, how about 9?
You got it, Dana. It's 9, actually. So
yeah. I knew it was less than 10, but I wasn't sure it was less than 9.
Yeah. So you can go California. Actually, you would go south. So you go Arizona, New Mexico. Yeah,
of course.
And then New Mexico gets you right to Oklahoma. You can skip over Texas. There's a little bit getting into the panhandle of Oklahoma to Missouri. Then you can go from Missouri right to Kentucky. So that gets you over. And then the only option there you have is both Ohio or West Virginia gets you to Pennsylvania. And then you're in New York.
Okay.
Though there actually is a trick question answer to that, of course, as well. Because all I said was the fewest number of states you can drive through to get from...
Oh, go up to Canada. You go up to Canada.
True.
Yeah, and then it'll be what? 2, 3?
It would be four technically, because you do California,
four with New York,
Oregon, Washington,
right?
Drive up into Canada and then straight down into New York State. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. You guys are great. Cool. Always a pleasure to hear the show. Thanks again. And
thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll catch up with you guys next week.
All right. Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey guys, this is Hayes, San Francisco.
Hi Hayes. You're not coming in that well, so...
Okay, can you hear me better now?
A little bit, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I actually had two answers, and they sort of rolled over into each other. 5135 Kensington Avenue. That was Meet Me in St. Louis.
Right.
It is. Very good.
Meet Me in St. Louis at the 1984 Summer Olympics.
Yes, it all ties together, doesn't it? Because the Summer Olympics were tied together with the exhibition, the St. Louis
that's
World's
right.
Fair.
Yes. That was part of our plan tonight.
Yes.
And a quick question about those Olympics. What is the connection between them and the Paralympics, that particular Olympics?
The connection between the St. Louis Olympics and which one?
And the Paralympics, you know, the Olympics where it's for the people who suffer disabilities.
Oh.
Paralympics, yeah.
Oh, the Paralympics.
So you want to know the connection between the Paralympics and St. Louis?
The Paralympics and the 1904 Summer Olympics in St. Louis.
Well, the Paralympics don't go back that far, do they?
They don't.
Okay, I'll just tell you.
Think so.
Getting late.
All right.
An American gymnast who won 6 medals in a gymnastic competition, even though his left leg was made of wood.
Yeah. Okay.
On that note, great show, guys.
Thank you, Hayes. Appreciate it.
See you.
Bye-bye. Interesting.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I see. Did somebody get my answer already about St. Louis, Missouri Olympic?
Yes.
But I just have a very quick comment to do. We have our own problem here in the Forlorn Island, where there's tons of barrels, of military barrels full of radioactive material. And some years ago, I wrote an article about it. It could be responsible for the increased, very high rate of breast cancer in Marin County women. Thank you. I'm sorry I had to go back again, but that's a really important point. Thank you.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hello. Is it me?
It is you.
Okay. Two answers. One is about Interstate 80. I believe the last one would be Lincoln, Nebraska. Am
right.
I correct?
The gentleman earlier said, I think, Omaha, which is not the capital.
Omaha.
Yes, but Lincoln, Nebraska is. Very
and the other, capital with all the capital and state with all the vowels would be Hartford, Connecticut.
Somebody got that one, but give them a bell.
All right.
Very good. There's still one more out there.
Okay. Well, thank you anyway.
All right.
Thanks.
If you want to give us a very quick call, we have a couple of minutes left in the show. We have a couple of lines open here. So if you want to give us a call, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's see. I'm trying to think about how much we have left out here. I guess we're...
You want to give us a hint on the first African-American to present the Best Picture?
Well, if I give you the major hint, you'll get it right away. But let's just say this person was internationally known and not for show business and not for sports, but very highly respected, internationally known, was on the cover of Time magazine.
Politician?
You said it wasn't a politician, right?
Not in the strictest sense, no.
Somebody in business?
No.
Is this person American?
This person is American, yes. Grew up in L.A. and went to University of California, L.A., University of California, Los Angeles. So, and extremely famous in this person's time, you know, very, very highly respected and famous. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bob in Berkeley again. Somebody just got my Lincoln, Nebraska. I have a brief question. There are four cities that are both city and county in the United States. Can you name some of them?
Well, San Francisco.
I'm in one right now.
Yeah, San Francisco is one.
Yeah.
In Alameda. Well, am I missing something?
Alameda County. You mean they're coterminous?
They're equal in area. Right.
I see.
Equal
okay.
in area.
Okay. I misunderstood.
So is Indianapolis one?
No.
I keep asking if Indianapolis is the answer to every question.
sometime it will be.
Yeah. No. Let's see. New York? No. Manhattan? No. New York? No.
None of New York City.
Right. Are these well known? Are these well known? The cities, counties.
Three of them are big cities, and one of them is a small city. But evidently, it managed to take over the whole county.
Right. I hate to cut your question short, but we're almost out of time. So, if you want to tell us,
Philadelphia, Denver, and Broomfield, Colorado.
Isn't Denver in Arapahoe County?
Well, at least the information I got off the interwebs was it's city and county.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ray in Berkeley.
Hi, Ray.
I was astounded to learn that Oregon and Florida could have adjacent time zones, so I looked it up in detail, and it's a little more complicated. In Oregon, the northern 80% of Malheur County is on Mountain Standard Time. In Florida, the Florida panhandle west of the Apalachicola River, except for the portion of Gulf County south of the Intercoastal Waterway, is on Central Standard Time.
Well, of course.
And we're out of time.
Who doesn't? All right.
No, seriously, thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate
it. Who doesn't know that?
Okay.
It's interesting, but it's funny.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Take care. And, okay, let's clean up here. Jeremy, very quickly.
Certainly. Annie Hall. Woody Allen was the other director, and you guys did early. You did say early on not Annie Hall and Woody Allen, so you were incorrect. I'm such a stickler. And then Warren Beatty pops up again because he technically was nominated for non-Warren Beatty films, Bonnie and Clyde and Bugsy.
Okay.
And what acting award was Woody Allen nominated for? For Annie Hall,
playing Alvy Singer in Annie Hall.
That's all right. I have Killings. It became In the Bedroom, that wonderful film. So that was a short story based on that. And the state capital we're missing is a great answer.
Pierre, South Dakota.
Very nice. Pierre, South Dakota is it. Give yourself a bell.
All right.
Dana.
Okay. If I said that the first African American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars was also a Nobel Prize winner, would you have gotten
Ralph Bunche?
Ralph Bunche is correct.
No kidding.
Ralph Bunche was the first African American to award the Best Picture Academy Award at the Oscars. That was in 1951, and All About Eve won. And I think that is all I have here. So my thanks to Jeremy Horowitz, cryptographer, and Laurie Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I have been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks also to Damian T. Miner for handling the board and phones. And, of course, my greatest thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you had a pleasant experience, and we hope you will join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks, everybody. Take care, and happy Father's Day in the future next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.